Several weeks ago, we began a study called A Fresh Start in 2011. A Fresh Start in 2011. How many are excited about the start of a new year? We're still kind of at the beginning of it, all right? And God has got something wonderful in store for your life this year. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got an end for your life, a destiny. He's got baby steps for you to take this year toward the bigger step, the bigger end that He has for your life. Amen? Last week we talked about the clock. If you're going to accomplish God's purpose, His plan, His destiny for your life starting this year, you have got to be like a clock. What does a clock have? What do a lot of clocks and wristwatches have?
Hands.
They've got hands, but they've got an essential quality called a second hand. And what does the second hand do? I'm just kind of recapping last week's message. A second hand ticks faithfully. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, right? It doesn't matter what the conditions are around that wristwatch. That second hand consistently ticks. It faithfully ticks. It diligently ticks. Is that making sense? And friends, if you are going to accomplish what God is wanting you to accomplish this year, you've got to have that second hand quality. You've got to be faithful. You've got to be diligent. You've got to be consistent in the course of action that God has for your life. You know, if you take a step into a venture, if you take a step towards the thing that God has for you, and the going gets tough in the middle of it, when the going gets tough, the tough in God get going, right? Because it's God's grace, His strength, that empowers you. If you quit in the middle of it getting tough, you may not accomplish the thing God has for you. So last week, we basically spoke on consistency, faithfulness, and diligence. Yes, when you step out and do what God has called you to do, it will get rough at times. It will get challenging at times. But when it gets rough and it gets challenging, cry out to God, and He will give you supernatural strength. Amen? To finish the course that He has for your life. Okay, today in honors of Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about God's love. God's love. And I thought it was appropriate being Valentine's Day. And I want to kind of give you a brief overview, a history of Valentine's Day. And this is how it goes. The Roman Empire was in trouble. And it needed more capable soldiers. And Claudius II banned marriage. And he was banning marriage because he thought that men soldiers who got married made weaker soldiers. And he was needing stronger soldiers for the Roman Empire. And put this ban on marriage. And St. Valentine disagreed with his ban on marriage. So what did St. Valentine's do? What St. Valentine did was he performed secret marriages for lovers. Secret marriages for lovers. And guess what? Claudius II found out, he was upset with Valentine, and he threw Valentine into jail. And while he was in jail, his jailer's name was Asterius. Now, Asterius had a daughter who was blind. And legend has it that Valentine had these healing powers because he was close to God. So legend has it that he prayed for Asterius' daughter and that she received her sight. And eventually a friendship occurred between Valentine and the daughter of Asterius. And before his execution, Valentine asked for pen and paper from the jailer and signed a farewell note, "From your Valentine." Another legend has it that he fell in love with the jailer's daughter. And you know, if you think about it, Valentine's Day is really not about romantic love. It's not about Eros love. Valentine's Day really should be, as believers in Jesus Christ, about the God kind of love. Did you know that Valentine was executed for his religion? He was killed because of his love for God in 270. They say he was executed February 14th, 270 AD. Isn't that something? So Valentine's Day for us, you know, a lot of people have this romantic idea about Valentine's Day. It's about your wife or your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. But for us as believers in Jesus Christ, Valentine's Day has got to be about a greater kind of love, right? A greater love than just romantic love. It's got to be about God's love. Is that making sense? You know, in the English language, we have one word for love, right? You know, people say, "I love ice cream. I love sports. I love basketball. I love to boat. I love to fish. I love to play the piano. I love going to the lake. You know, I love this person. I love that person. You know, we got one word for love, right? The English language is not as specific as the Greek. There's several different words in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written. One of those words is the God kind of love. What word is that? For the God kind of love. The word for the God kind of love in the New Testament is agape. Say it with me, agape. The God kind of love. So we're going to talk about agape here for the next few minutes. And agape, when you think of the word agape, think of this. It denotes a love which springs from admiration and veneration and chooses its object with decision of will. In other words, it just chooses to love another person whether or not that person is lovable. Agape love a lot of times will love the unlovable. It denotes a self-sacrificing, self-denying, and compassion devotion to it. So God's kind of love, agape love, has a self-sacrificing aspect to it. It has a self-denying attribute to it. It loves the unlovable. It reaches out to help someone who could never pay that other person back. And friend, let me tell you today, when you reach out with the love of God to help somebody who could never love you back, guess what? You're loving them with not a brotherly love. You're loving them with a God kind of love, agape. Is that making sense? Say it with me today. Agape. The God kind of love. A self-sacrificing love. In Jesus' name. Amen. And this is the way God loved us. In John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8, let's turn to it if you have a Bible. It's an awesome scripture. 5:8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. While the world was yet in a state of sin, not being able to give anything back to God, God still loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, his very best, Jesus Christ, God the Son. God demonstrated his agape love toward you and toward me. We were unlovable, would you agree? You know, in the sight, in the presence of a holy God, of a righteous God, a God without any kind of sin, we were unlovable. We were not holy. But yet, in our unlovable state, in our sinful state, he still sent Jesus Christ to love us, to die upon a cross, so that by faith in him, we could be heaven-bound one day. That's great love, isn't it? That's the God kind of love, and that's the love that God demonstrated toward you and toward me. Amen? You know, friends, the same love that God showered upon us by giving us his Son is the same love we need to shower upon other human beings. Just as God agape loved us, we can agape love other people. Let me say it again. Just as God agape loved us while we were yet in sin, we can agape love other people with the love of God. See, the love of God, agape love, is a no-strings-attached kind of love. It's a no-strings-attached kind of love. How many here have a really good friend? Guy friend, a lady friend, somebody you hang out with, you spend time with, you go to the coffee shop with, maybe you go to the Quick Trip with, you share your heart with this person. You know, this person thinks like you, you like being around them. You know what kind of love that is? From the original Greek language, that's just brotherly love. It's a friendship kind of love. But there is a love, as I was talking about, that is greater than that kind of love. And that's God's kind of love, agape love. Loving those that don't think like you, that don't look like you, that you may not like being around, reaching out beyond yourself to the unlovable, those that may smell. You know, may have habits that don't sit right with you. They get under your skin. Reaching out and still loving them with the love of God is a higher form of love. That's agape love. That's God's kind of love. Matthew 22. A lawyer came to Jesus and he said this. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. Verse 35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Loving God, agape loving God, and agape loving your neighbor. See, loving God and loving your neighbor, loving another person is like a circle, a never-ending circle. As you love God, it demonstrates, or it's expressed in loving other people. And as you love people, it demonstrates, expresses that you love God. So the way you show the world that you really love God, creator of heaven and earth, the way we show the world that we really love Jesus is by loving other people. And as we love other people, it expresses to the world that we really love God. And as we're loving God with all of our hearts, our souls, and our minds, we will do good unto other human beings. Is that making sense? It's a never-ending circle. Loving God, loving people. Loving God, loving people. They're interconnected, intertwined. All right? Loving our neighbor. Let's talk about loving our neighbor. Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Okay, verse 25. It's the same occasion. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? Verse 27. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And I want you to think about that question today. Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? See, in the United States, we have this concept of neighbor. It's the person that lives next door to you. It's that person that lives in the bunk bed above you. You know, it's the person that lives across the street from you. It's the person that lives down the block from you. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, he expands the concept of neighbor, of who the neighbor really is. So in reply, Jesus said in verse 30 of Luke 10, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. So this was probably a Jewish man. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. A priest, could you imagine a religious person who should know God, should be expressing the love of God, just passes by this bleeding Jew? So too, verse 32, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Another religious person, a Levite, sees this bleeding Jew and just passes, cold-heartedly just passes by. But a Samaritan, here's the key, verse 33, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He had compassion on him. He went to him, he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Verse 36, Jesus asks, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law, the lawyer replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So this Jew was beaten. He was bleeding. The Samaritan comes by. You got to understand that there was racial animosities between the Jews and the Samaritans. They didn't have anything to do with each other. But even though there was the animosity, this Samaritan stepped beyond the boundaries of racial animosities and he reached out with the love of God to help this bleeding Jew. Plain and simple. Who reached beyond racial animosities and reached out with the love of God. So Jesus, in this parable, expands the concept of neighbor. Yes, your neighbor is the person who lives next door or in the bunk above you or down the street or across the street. Yes, that is your neighbor. But Jesus is saying in this parable that the neighbor, the concept of neighbor, is much greater than just the person who lives next to you. Guess who you become neighbor to? You become the neighbor to the person that you reach out to with the love of God. The person in greater need than you. The person out there that is in greater need than you becomes your neighbor when you reach out to them. So that person in need out there on the streets of Tulsa who doesn't have a place to sleep in tonight is your neighbor when you reach out to him. That person is your neighbor. And when you reach out to that person with the love of God, you become that person's neighbor. So in other words, Jesus is saying neighbor is anybody who is in need of your help, of my help. Let me say it again. Jesus is expanding the concept of neighbor to this. The neighbor is anybody out there in greater need than yourself who can use a helping hand. That's your neighbor. And when you reach out with a helping hand to that person in need, you become that person's neighbor. So, for instance, you can be in the nation of China. You find somebody bleeding on the side of the road, and if you stop and you bandage that person's wounds, guess what? That person in China, you've become neighbor to that bleeding person in China. That bleeding person in China is your neighbor. You can be in the nation of Africa, Nigeria. And somebody is begging for a meal. They haven't eaten for 5 days. And you buy that person food. Guess what? That person in Nigeria begging for food is what? That person is your neighbor. And when you buy that person a meal, guess what? You've become their neighbor. So neighbor is anybody out there who is in need of our help. The neighbor is not just a person who looks like you, talks like you, dresses like you, thinks like you, lives next door to you. The neighbor is anybody out there in need of God's love demonstrated through your life. You see? You might be in Antarctica, Australia. If there's somebody out there in greater need than you, even though you live in the United States, that person there in Australia is your neighbor. And when you help them out, you become their neighbor. Is that making sense? Jesus expands the concept of neighbor in Luke 10 to mean anybody that we can reach out to with the love of God who needs our help. Amen? Is that making sense? So the Samaritan was neighbor to the bleeding Jew, right? Why? Why was he neighbor, a neighbor to the bleeding Jew? Even though they were from two totally different cultures. The Samaritan was a neighbor to the bleeding Jew because he did what? He reached out with the love of God to somebody who was in greater need than himself. He demonstrated what kind of love? He demonstrated the agape love of God to the bleeding Jew. He demonstrated the God kind of love to the bleeding Jew. Remember, we said that agape love denotes what? What is part of the meaning of agape love? It has a self-sacrificing, self-denying attribute to it. Would you agree? And this Samaritan sacrificed in several different areas in reaching out to the bleeding Jew. How did he sacrifice? Think about it. When you read the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and forward, this Good Samaritan sacrificed in several different ways. He denied himself in several different ways to help the bleeding Jew. What did he do? He sacrificed, number one, what did he sacrifice? His time. Would you agree that the Samaritan was on his way somewhere? He had to get somewhere. He was on a mission. He had to be somewhere. But what did he do? He sacrificed his time. He stopped to help the bleeding Jew. What else did he sacrifice? Anybody have any ideas? He sacrificed his time. He sacrificed his?
Money.
His money. Why do you say that?
He
gave him two coins, exactly. He said to the innkeeper, here, house him. If there's any extra expense, I'll pay it. And he sacrificed something else. He sacrificed his reputation. Because the Jews and the Samaritans did not associate. Amen? Now, I was reading something a while back that I received by email. It's awesome. It's called Greater Love Hath No Man Than This. And it really touched my heart when I read this. It's about an ORU graduate. Ryan Arnold, a 1999 ORU graduate, carried out a life-changing decision in July. This is talking 2010. He donated, now listen to this, he donated about two-thirds of his liver to his brother Chad, a 1994 graduate who has been suffering from end-stage liver disease. Here's the clincher. A few days later, after the surgery, Ryan passed away. Chad continues to recover from the liver transplant. Please pray for the Arnold family, including Ryan's wife, Shannon, 99, and their three sons, and Chad and his wife, Christine, 93. Isn't that unbelievable? That's one of the most touching stories I ever received by email. Ryan Arnold donated two-thirds of his liver to his brother, Chad. And as a result of donating two-thirds of his liver to his brother, Chad Arnold, he ended up dying. He sacrificed his physical life on this earth for his brother. I think that right there is the very essence of agape love, the God kinds of love. Imagine giving an organ to your brother and dying as a result. But that's exactly what God did for us. He gave his very best, his son who died upon a cross for you and for me so that we would not have to die in hell. Isn't that something? Greater love has no man than this was the name of that article from ORU. Gave away an organ to his brother and died as a result. But now we know that Ryan is in a great place. He's in heaven rejoicing. Amen. Probably big jewels on his crown for doing such an awesome act. And if this man can do it, friends, we can do it. You might be thinking today, Jonathan, I'm in such great need myself. But friend, I'm here to tell you today, there is somebody out there in greater need than you. There's somebody out there during the last two snowstorms that slept outside. You had the shelter. There's somebody out there who hasn't eaten for 3 or 4 days. You get awesome meals here. Isn't that awesome? There's somebody out there sleeping on the grass, sleeping on a blanket. You get a mat to sleep on. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. God's saying, I want you to reach out to this person in downtown. Reach out to this person. Reach out to that person with my love. Hug this person. Give this person a word of encouragement. Buy this person lunch. Listen to God speaking to you. Reach out to that person. And when you're doing that, you're demonstrating agape love, the God kind of love, which has a self-sacrificing attribute to it, laying itself down to help somebody else. Like Ryan Arnold, who gave his liver, two-thirds of his liver, to his brother Chad. If he did it, friends, if he was able to physically lay down his life for his brother, we can lay aside some of the things that we like in life to help somebody else out. It's Valentine's Day. Don't wait another minute. Do it today after you leave this place. And not just today. Demonstrate the God kind of love. Make every day that you live Valentine's Day, expressing God's love to other people. Start today and carry it out the rest of your life. And when you enter heaven one day, God will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen?
Amen.
Is that good news? Say it with me today. I want to walk in agape love, the God kind of love, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.